His characters are dirty and filthy and have diseases and sores and festering wounds and so forth, and they have to hunt for their food and eat semi-raw, semi-burned deer flesh and so forth. And yes, it's yucky, but it takes us away from the kind of sanitized fantasy world that we have in Tolkien and even in Le Guin. Le Guin mentions slavery, and there are some characters who suffer misery. It's pretty sanitized. They never have to really hunt very much for food and so forth. And Holdstock brings that in, which must have been a really significant portion of life in that time period, was hunting for food and having trouble with hygiene and so forth. So in that sense, it's more realistic, but it also still operates at the fantasy level and respects the fantasy level. So in that sense, it might be more realistic, though I still reject that dichotomy, but it still works fully within the fantasy genre. And it makes fantasy something that connects up with a long history of folk custom and tradition, but is free of the kind of reliance on literary texts and works that Tolkien has, and at the same time is different quantitatively and qualitatively from Le Guin's universe. So I would put Tolkien first in the pantheon and Le Guin second, and I would put Holdstock third, even though his subsequent books have not been as powerful as Mythago Wood and particularly Lavandus, which I think he gets everything to work in there. There are, of course, other contemporary writers that go beyond the scope of this course, and I might mention writers like Terry Pratchett, who's more of a humor writer in fantasy, or Patricia MacKillop, who definitely brings a woman's sensibility in a way somewhat different than Le Guin to her work. There's also Mercedes Lackey, and there's a whole new set of writers who are coming along. I think it's going to be very interesting in the next decade to see how writers deal with the anxiety of Tolkien now that so many other writers have come along and become models of different ways to handle this material. And I expect both Le Guin and Holdstock to exert their own anxieties on the next generation of writers. Now, in the next lecture, we're going to move into children's fantasy, which chronologically starts even before Tolkien and certainly picks up with C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, which were published even before The Lord of the Rings, though after The Hobbit. But children's fantasy has been enormously influential because of its ability to cross genres and categories. And as we'll see, it does some of the same things as adult fantasy, but it does some things very differently as well.
This ends Lecture 11.